Burlesque, striptease dancers, campy theatrics, comedy was once a naughty mainstay of American popular entertainment, but television and more explicit forms of adult fare gradually pushed burlesque near extinction. Now performers, young and not so young, are arousing renewed interest in the lost art of burlesque by putting the tease back into striptease. Producer Eric Newsome of member station WKSU in Kent, Ohio, reports.
Retired striptease dancer Jenny Lee always wanted to start a museum honoring burlesque. She spent several years collecting memorabilia and photographs from her former profession. But when Jenny died of breast cancer in 1990, her dream seemed to go with her. That is, until fellow burlesque veteran Dixie Evans approached Jenny's husband about buying her collection. But he had a better idea. He invited Dixie to live on his remote ranch in the California desert and set up a burlesque museum there. Dixie moved to the ranch, located 90 miles outside of Los Angeles in Hellendale, California, and started to unpack Jenny's boxes in one of the ranch's abandoned barns.
This was a goat farm. This was a goat shed when I came here. This place was full of trash up to my chin with broken bed springs and, just boxes of trash. And we just moved the trash from one room to the next.
Dixie set up the collection of costumes and hundreds of faded photographs. She decorated the ranch grounds with dozens of hand-lettered stars featuring the names of bygone burlesque starlets. Then she placed a few handmade signs along nearby Route 66 encouraging tourists traveling from Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and other destinations to come to Exotic World, the Hall of Fame and Museum of Burlesque.
Now you see there is a word and it is called burlesque. And a lot of people say, oh, burlesque, a bunch of tacky old striptease dancers.
From its emergence in the 1870s until the 1950s, burlesque was one of the most popular forms of American entertainment. It offered a variety of acts, comedians, singers, magicians, and its most popular performers, the exotic dancers who'd strip down to pasties and G-strings and choreographed routines. The Roadside Museum's collection fills discarded retail racks, broken display cases, and plastic hangers, and hangs on mannequins that are missing an occasional arm or leg. Cleverly arranged scarves, boas, and props hide the worst damage. All the memorabilia is out in the open, unprotected from a curious visitor's touch, occasional cakes of dust, or the light from the few curtainless windows. As Dixie winds her way through the museum, she shows visitors the costumes and props used by Gypsy Rose Lee, Sally Rand, Blaze Starr, and many others. In between her tidbits about burlesque history, she often drops in her own first-hand recollections.
Now, we had great songs in my day, and I would come out to "You Are My Lucky Star," you know, set the scene. And then they play "You Ought to Be in Pictures." Oh, who, me? And then the band would yell, "Yes, you." And then, I had a big fake camera on the stage. Oh, take a screen test. And I'd run over there and remove a couple things.
But from the beginning, Exotic World, marooned as it is in the middle of the Mojave Desert, was in a near constant state of insolvency. Donations and meager trinket sales weren't enough to pay for the constant maintenance to the old barns. To build more interest in the museum, Dixie decided to start a Miss Exotic World pageant. The pageant would bring together young women interested in burlesque-style striptease for a judged competition. In between, Dixie and her fellow burlesque veterans, now in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, would take to the stage and revive their old routines. Dixie sent out press releases and flyers to her small mailing list proclaiming,
"We will crown Miss Exotic World, and she will take her place alongside Miss Budweiser, Miss Pickle, and Miss America."
Several weeks later, Dixie held the first Miss Exotic World pageant on a newly constructed stage next to the museum. The event was a hit and has become an annual tradition. Every year, on the first Saturday in June, a small collection of curious visitors gather in the hot desert sun to watch women, ages 18 to 92, do some old-style burlesque peeling. One of the retired dancers featured in the pageants is Cynthia Anna, who, in her late 60s, returns to Exotic World every year to perform.
The first time I did it was about 4 years ago, after about 25 years or so away. I'm, 50 pounds overweight, but it didn't matter. When I got out there, I just forgot all about the weight or how I looked or anything else, and I just had a good time, and the audience loved me, so now it's easy.
Cynthia Anna left burlesque when she was in her 30s. She says that like many former burlesque dancers, she kept quiet about her past, fearing that people would misunderstand what she had done.
People get the idea that you're a hooker or something. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. I'm just robing and that's it.
Most burlesque enthusiasts consider exotic dance to be an art form, just like ballet or modern dance. Almost all have the highest disdain for contemporary strip clubs, which they view as crass.
To me, that's not art.
Tempest Storm is one of the few remaining icons of burlesque's boom years, and is always the featured headliner at the Miss Exotic World pageants.
I think that's what killed burlesque. I mean, when they started taking off everything. I mean, a woman's greatest weapon is a man's imagination, anyway.
Nowadays, troops of young burlesque revivalists are staging shows in cabaret clubs and theaters around the country. The current Miss Exotic World comes from one such troupe in Los Angeles, called the Velvet Hammer. The group's founder, Michelle Carr, says she became interested in burlesque after seeing pictorials in vintage men's magazines.
And I just thought, you know, I would love to see a burlesque show, but I know it's never going to happen, so why not get off my ass and do it myself? So one night after sitting around my apartment drinking Jim Beam and Coke or whatever, the idea struck us, let's just do it. Let's just do it and see what happens.
Michelle shared the idea with several friends, including her current co-producer, Rita D'Albert. With their help, Michelle and her friends staged the Velvet Hammer's first burlesque show in a small bar.
Compared to how our shows are now, it was so...
Ragtag?
Ragtag. Yeah, it was like the Little Rascals getting together and putting on a burlesque show is what it felt like, basically.
You have to start somewhere.
And it has just evolved since then.
Since that debut in 1996, the Velvet Hammer has staged several elaborate, highly produced shows each year. Their last performance was a 3-hour show featuring more than 20 acts. Kate Valentine runs another revival group in New York City called the Vavavoom Room. It's a smaller show that runs weekly in a cabaret club. She says the attraction for both performers and audience is simple.
I think it's really fun, escapist entertainment. In my book, there's nothing wrong with part of that formula being sexy or titillating in some way. I think that it's less about the nudity in some strange way than it is about how you get there.
Yes!
Please clap very loudly for the world famous Bob, ladies and gentlemen. Clap very loudly.
Still, contemporary burlesque receives some of the same complaints raised against old-school burlesque decades ago. The people who dislike it dismiss burlesque's artistic merit and consider exotic dancing to be degrading. Kate Valentine has heard this argument many times.
I would challenge you to find someone who felt degraded by it. I think objectification means you're turning a person into an object, an inanimate object. And I think that striptease really emphasizes the individual and their uniqueness and their specificity as a person.
Others take issue with the appeal of the dancers themselves. In Los Angeles, for example, the Velvet Hammer features women of many sizes and shapes, from Amazonian to obese. A cover story in a weekly paper called the Los Angeles New Times claims such women are simply not attractive.
I think it would be insulting to the audience's intelligence to just assume, like Hollywood, that they just want to see an anorexic woman that's stuck to giant boobs on her body.
Again, the Velvet Hammer's Rita D'Albert.
And we prove time and time again, people find every woman in the show attractive.
Exotic World's older veterans are also lampooned in the press because of their age. Michelle Carr says that when people fixate on the pin-up qualities of exotic dancers, they're missing the point of burlesque.
We're not trying to fit in at all. We're doing our own thing. So when we get lambasted for not being like that, it's like, yeah, we're not. Thanks for noticing. Get out of here.
For NPR News, I'm Eric Newsom.